First scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from Matthew in the second chapter. It's a bit of a challenging reading, but what I love about the ancient Hebrews is they just sort of let it all hang out, you know? When David did stupid things, they reported it, you know, they doubts and fears and wrong turn, and they reported it. And they reported the coming back, the repentance, the getting themselves back on plates. And so in that same vein, we have these words from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east, and we have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord. So here's a little time of confession, you know, not a big one, but you know, is your Christmas tree still up? Yeah. How about your decoration, outside lights or Christmas decorations on your door? I recently saw a meme on Facebook that said, Alexa, take down the Christmas ornaments. Ours are still up. And that's all because I love to be reminded of the spirit of Christmas, the joy, the peace, the being with family. And, you know, joy is a big part of the Christmas season, isn't it? But when we read Matthew's gospel, we begin to wonder what is wrong with him. Mark's gospel is the action-packed blockbuster of the Bible, starting out with Jesus already an adult and doing miracles. It skips the birth narrative altogether. John's gospel gives us a very theological take on Jesus' coming, and with the very memorable prologue, "In the beginning was the Word." Luke's gospel is like a cantata, filled with joy and singing. But Matthew's narrative is written in a decidedly minor key. And as you move through the birth narrative in Matthew, the sound gets harsher. The joy of the Christmas story is tinged with shadow when King Herod is introduced. When Herod is told that there is a savior of the world is born in his territory, he is not happy. He is worried and afraid, and all Jerusalem with him, Matthew tells us. Why was Herod troubled? Well, perhaps Matthew was alluding to the fact that Herod was not a nice man, especially when it came to power. Now, he was not without redeeming traits. For instance, he built some magnificent buildings and improved the infrastructure of the country. He provided food for those who needed it in times of famine. But when it came to power, he revealed a tragic flaw. He would permit no equals and feared any who challenged him. He had a favored wife murdered because he suspected her of plotting against him. And he also had her mother murdered to boot. He put three of his own sons to death. Evil thy name is King Herod. No wonder Jerusalem was troubled when they learned that Herod was troubled, because how in the world is Herod going to react to this news, a birth of a new king? And it turned out that their worst fears were realized. According to the biblical record, he murdered thousands of innocent children. Why did Matthew have to record this terrible event right next to the story of the shepherds and the angels? Well, it's because some of humanity's darkest deeds they're very real. And that's why we need a savior, a light to overcome the darkness, as the Gospel of John puts it. And so Matthew wisely does not disguise the fact that there are people in the world who do not react well to the news of the Savior's birth. People who are envious or greedy or paranoid, and who will act on those fears. We just have to look at the news to know it happens. They will kill people and ruin lives and families. And this occurs generation after generation. And so we need a savior today as much as the shepherds and people of Jerusalem needed it then. Now, why don't people get God's message of love? And when they do, welcome it. Well, sometimes I think it's because we can get so apathetic. We never let God's love penetrate to our hard hearts and brittle souls sometimes. For instance, my husband loves to listen to a syndicated radio talk show called The Sports Animal. And as we were driving around after Christmas, someone called into the station. He said, "I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, and it's such a wonderful time of the year. It warms the heart, and I just wanted to wish you all a Happy New Year." The talk show host replied, "Well, thank you." And then the caller went on to say, "Now let me tell you, coach, fill in the blank, is an idiot, and the players don't know what they're doing. And anyone who supports this team and this coach, well, they're idiots too." I wonder if the talk host thought, yeah, and Jesus loves you too, yeah. What about a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and the warmth of the season? It was only 2 days after Christmas and already the message is lost, or was it ever understood? You see, the message of the Christ child is not about a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not about candles and mistletoe and presents under the tree, as wonderful as all these outward signs of an inner faith and love are. It's about a radical decision to live lovingly towards all, including the not especially lovable. As I used to say to my youth group kids, you don't have to marry them, but you do have to treat them with respect. Love is an act of the will. Affection is an emotion. It's a message about a lifestyle, not that emotion. So if you're basing your faith on emotions that come and go and cannot be sustained, you will surely feel apathy when the decorations come down and you can't keep the warm fuzzies going. Instead, let Jesus save you from sentimentalism and power you with the energy of faith, which is not based on what you do, but what God has done and does. It is not dependent on who you are, but on who Jesus is. Then the light and dazzle of God will create a warm glow all year long. And that can overcome some pretty dour apathy if you and I will only let it. Now, another response to the coming of the Savior besides apathy is anger. And that's what we get with King Herod, and it issued forth a command to murder numerous children. You see, Herod was angry because he knew that the birth of the Messiah, he was a Jew, he did know this, would call for the submission of every throne and power in the world. And jealous Herod did not want to bow down to any other power, including God's. So he tried to get rid of Jesus. And sometimes we do the same thing. We too get faced with the same choice as Herod. Either give your life to Jesus and bow down to him as your Lord, or try to get rid of him. And sometimes we try to get rid of him by avoiding him. We don't come to church or read the Bible or pray. We try to fill our lives with things and possessions. We push out of our minds the starving millions and go out to dinner instead. We shirk our responsibility, saying, "What can I do?" instead of praying to God to show us what to do. And should anyone tell us that we should act differently, we react with anger. Don't think that can happen to you? Well, let's talk about money. It's a hot topic, always is, especially should anyone suggest that God is also Lord of your wallet and bank account. What do you mean God wants up to 10% of my income? All the church wants is my money. It's all they're interested in. I earned it. It's mine, and I don't like people trying to make me feel guilty about it. Time is another sticky point. I'm busy. Someone else will do it, and they're probably better qualified anyhow. Let someone else take a turn. And then, of course, there's our daily interaction with each other, like our radio person. Is God the Lord of our speech or only our speech on Sunday? Yes, you and I try to get rid of Jesus and many ways, big and small, and don't you try to tell me about it because I'm liable to get very angry. Or maybe I just don't care at all. The story of King Herod asks us to reflect on the anger and apathy inside us. However, this is another response to the birth of the Savior, adoration. The Magi, those three wise men, came and bowed down to the Christ child. They acknowledged him as king and gave him rich and costly gifts. Gold, because he was a king. Frankincense, because he was a high priest. And myrrh, the spice used to anoint the dead, because he was born to give his life to speak the truth and show us God's way. That's what the three wise men thought. But what matters most this year is what you think. Do you and I just see a cute little baby in a warm family relationship, or something more? Do we see a king that has a claim on you and all you have? Do you see a light that comes into the darkness and will not be overcome? And are you prepared to bend the knee and reflect his light, even in some very dark places? If this is what you think, then you can call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower. And the waters of baptism are the sign of your death to the old ways and rising to new life in Christ, an outward sign of what is already taking place in your life. And eating and drinking bread and wine in communion is our participation in the life of Christ and his ongoing ministry, a ministry of forgiveness and reconciliation, justice, a ministry in which we are supported and fed by the power of God. Now, what would the world be like if we really bowed down to Christ in adoration and made a commitment to be the King's light bearers all year long? Let me tell you about a rabbi and a soap maker. They went for a walk together. And the soap maker had some very negative things to say about faith. He said, "You know, what good is faith? Just look around you and what do you see? Trouble, misery, wars. And even after all these years of preaching and teaching about goodness and truth and peace, what good is faith with all its prayers and sermons if all this evil still exists?" And the rabbi quietly walked on, and then they noticed a child playing in the dirt. The child was just filthy with dirt and mud. And the rabbi said to the soap maker, "Look at this child. Now you say that soap makes people clean, but what good is it? With all the soap in the world, this child is still dirty. What good is soap after all?" And the soap maker immediately said, "Well, you know, that's not right because you have to use the soap." And the rabbi said, "Exactly." And so it is with faith. It will not accomplish anything unless we use it. So get out there this year, fellow light bearers, and shine, shine, shine. Don't go in your own strength. Ask for help. Don't be afraid, and don't forget to stay plugged into the power source, Jesus Christ. Amen.